The following talk was given by Father John Harden, July 14th through the 18th, 1999, Retreat for Men, sponsored by the Institute on Religious Life, Chicago.
First of all, I want to compliment you on your observance of silence. Silence, as you know, is speaking with our Lord. We cannot carry a conversation simultaneously with God and people. By way of exception, I will read periodic comment, the present meditation. It is on spiritual reading. Who needs it? Over the years, I've spoken on spiritual reading many times. This happens to be something that I've published. I'm afraid that for many Catholics, the term spiritual reading is either a strange expression, they're not sure what it means, or they've heard that monks and nuns do it, whatever it is. But spiritual reading is neither strange nor exotic. It is by now centuries of Christian experience testifies. In order to do some justice to the important subject, I propose to ask a series of questions, answer them briefly as we go along. My sincere hope is that you'll have one good answer to the one question they're asking: who needs spiritual reading? I might begin by asking, why is reading important? Why is reading influential? What is spiritual reading? Why is it necessary? Then a few closing observations for all of us. We may say that spiritual reading began when God gave us the sacred scriptures. Centuries before his coming as man, and centuries before most people could read or write, we ask why reading, as reading, is important. There are thousands of newspapers in the world. Some, as we know, with a circulation of over a million. Thousands of periodicals. Some with monthly circulations, again, of many millions. Thousands of books published annually. Some by now with a publication history as nothing less than astronomical. Reading must be important, seeing the widespread and deep influence it has had over the centuries. A good date for beginning the modern world is the dawn of print. Man's history will never be the same. But the real proof for the importance of the printed word is the seldom realized fact that when God began what we call public revelation. First to the Jews, then to the people of the new Israel. He made sure, absolutely sure, that the substance of what he was revealing was available in print. The existence of the Bible, written in an age when we calculate less than 2% of the human race could read, a lasting testimonial what the Holy Spirit thinks of reading. First, given to the Semitic people about the year 2000 B.C. and then provided to inspire millions over the centuries to know what is on God's mind and the precise words. We must say God invented printing, writing, to make the reading of Scripture possible and accessible to the whole human race. We are still on reading. Why is reading influential? Needless to say, the main reason for this, shall we call it, conference, is to encourage all of you, to daily do some spiritual reading. Not only is reading important, I think I can safely say it is the most influential means of communicating knowledge. This calls for some explanation. In view of the marvelous discoveries in our own day for communicating knowledge, electronics media, telephone and telegraph, radio and television, the film, radar, and the many derivatives. I have no intention of making a competitive comparison between the written word and other ways of transmitting ideas. My intention in this conference is very practical, to emphasize to all of you the great importance of the written and printed word for our spiritual welfare. Reading is so influential because the ideas expressed in a piece of good writing are concentrated. What is written does not flow back and forth. What is written is generally done by professional people who know what they're saying and say it intelligently and persuasively. Even when they do not write, as so much reading nowadays is not the truth. The written word be in competition with other written words. His done carefully and in large measure by those who are professional in the communication of knowledge by the written word. Moreover, this is very important. What is read is normally done in solitude. The mind of the writer, directly influencing the mind of the reader, in a quiet, reflective, and by definition, sympathetic mood. If you don't like what you're reading, just put it aside. But I am speaking, I know exactly when someone in the audience does not want to listen. I'm not exaggerating. There are a thousand ways which people show they may be in the audience, or they're not listening. If they are the kind who don't want to listen, they will close their eyes. And some people can sleep, head raised, eyes closed. The one who reads wants to be told. Still again, what is read remains written. The famous statement of Pilate, remember, when complaints were registered, what he put on top of the cross on Calvary, he said in Latin, quod scripsi, scripsi, what I have written, I have written. Again, the written word can be gone over and over again. We never grasp the full meaning of anything we read once. Read it again. And we read something 100 times. And each time we read it, we get new insights. That is why, some years ago, when I began studying Latin, there was a phrase written which I would recommend memorizing. Very simple Latin. Verba volant, scripta moniunt. Verba volant. Words fly. Scripta moniunt. What is written remains. Spoken words fly away. What is written stays. Before we go on with this important, shall I call it, an exhortation, I urge every one of you to do some writing. Maybe your daily reflections, maybe your spiritual insights, something you read or heard. through my 4 years of undergraduate theology, I would write down what I thought the books I was reading deserved to be remembered. By the time I was ordained, I had over 5,000 quotations. Now we get closer to our subject. What is spiritual reading? We can begin by describing it in terms what it is not. And that's easy. Spiritual reading is not secular reading. And more positively, spiritual reading is that reading whose purpose as writing is to assist the believer to better know, love, and serve God, and thereby become more godlike, which means more holy, especially in his life of prayer and the practice of Christian virtue. Whatever I would recommend during these, let's say 4 days of the retreat, in God's name, write. That's the imperative. Write. Notice I said that spiritual reading is that reading whose purpose as writing is to assist the believer. Why put it just that way? May sound odd. The reason is that there is a sense in which any kind of reading is most obviously secular, like the daily papers or a popular novel, may, by now I have been told, is considered spiritual reading by many people if their intention is spiritual. But by that standard, reading Time or Newsweek or something worse, what a person can tell himself, my purpose is spiritual. He calls it spiritual reading. My one-word observation, nonsense. I am speaking of spiritual reading as spiritual in the intention of the writer. The spiritual reading I am speaking of is spiritual with its purpose in being written. It's not only something that may casually be read and substitute what we call spiritual reading. Quite frankly, all our reading, even the most secular, should be done from a spiritual motive. What I am talking about is that form of reading which contains the life of the Spirit. And just identify 5 forms of spiritual reading. First, the Sacred Scriptures or the Bible. I won't ask for a raising of hands. when was the last time you read one verse from the Bible? Again, the teachings of the church, the Holy See publishes every day in Italian, and every week in English, the statements and the writings of the Holy Father, the Holy See, and that kind of reading which is meant for Catholics. The history of the Church in general, or anyone of a myriad aspects of the Church's passage through time. I trust you have heard about the history of the popes. The English translation is in 40 volumes. I read it once, read it a second time. The history of the church. How we need to know that history. The biography of the lives and thoughts of saintly persons, either by themselves, like Teresa of Avila, like John of the Cross, or by someone who quotes these saintly persons. Then, in a class by itself, any form of reflection on any of the preceding categories may be learned and scholarly, may be very simple. Children should be exposed to and trained in sound spiritual reading when they are able to read. Lord, how important, indispensable is spiritual reading for every professed Catholic. We go on. Why is spiritual reading necessary? But I'm not saying important. Necessary. As described, spiritual reading is necessary as a normal way of nourishing the Christian faith. Faith is in the mind. The mind must be fed. I say this with complete conviction. There are a lot of starving minds. The mind needs food to inspire the will. Remember, we have two spiritual faculties. We have the mind that can think and the will that chooses. And unless we read by feeding the mind with knowledge, we can choose all right. Choose the most veritable idiocy. Our daily newspapers, some have circulations of over a million a day. most of what is in the newspapers is not worth reading. I have this information not once, but many times from those who are in the newspaper business by profession. They tell me most of what is in the newspapers is either untrue or slanted, shifted, because the newspapers are not published to teach the truth, unquote. We are to serve God with our wills, but those wills must be constantly nourished with knowledge. And the normal way we obtain knowledge, by listening to believing people, by reading what such people have written. We must take the ordinary means to preserve our physical life. We must sleep. We must eat. We must exercise the body. Among these needs for the body, none is more important than food. Without eating, the human body dies. And it is no comfort to say, I am alive now, and there is food outside of me. If that food gets inside of me, or I die. Be near me, the food will not help me. So too with resounding emphasis, I can be surrounded by food for the mind and starve intellectually for our purpose spiritually without being constantly fed the mind with its possession of faith. The mind dies. I know what I'm saying. The mind needs constant mental nourishment for the soul to stay alive. Not to nourish the mind with food. Our focus, of course, is food for the soul. To nourish the mind with God's revealed truth. We are tempting God, telling Him, Lord, You are God. You keep me alive. I will keep my mind away from the spiritual food that most people need to remain spiritually alive. Let's pause for just a moment. Reflect on the millions of thought hours spend daily in a single large American city, literally devouring my notes, tell me the pablum. A good synonym for pablum is garbage. On which people spend in our nation, accumulatively, millions of hours every day will not spend 3 minutes in reading what their minds need, and I mean need, to remain alive in the Spirit of God. Reading the sacred scriptures, all the documents of the church, all the life of a saint, and you begin to see how urgently necessary it is to, shall I say, practice spiritual reading ogni giorno, every day.